Hello, you beautiful soul. Welcome. You are here listening to the Claudia Varas podcast. I am your host, Claudia Varas, a former corporate manager in tech, turned career change and mindset coach and business owner. This podcast is all about a real, raw, unsketched, and fun perspective on all things related to our human experience. It is a space for us to, for once, slow down and talk deep. We cover real and raw stories alongside with practical key takeaways and tips on how to reconnect with your authentic self so that you can achieve any fucking goal that you desire in your career and life without hustling and actually trying to fit in. Listen, my mission is to help you heal at soul level and raise the vibration of the planet. And you, my dear listener, a part of this mission. It's only through these kind of conversations that we inspire others to take action and think differently. That's how we actually make a change in the world. So your task is to go and share this episode or any one or two insights and learnings with two friends and tell them that if that inspired them too, to share it with two more friends. Let's create a ripple effect together and change the world. Beautiful listener, it's part three of three from this TEDx experience series. And I'm so excited for you to join and to listen to the last part of this, the day. So I hope you had the chance to listen to part one, preparation towards how I actually got on the TEDx stage. And then part two, the week before roller coaster and all of the stuff that happened there. And now it's part three. And in today's episode, we're really gonna talk about the day itself of the TEDx talk, all the things that have been going on in my mind and my body, the experience itself, the hiccups, the mistakes that I've made, the learnings that I took away from it, and also post TEDx vibes. So, my dear listener, it's Wednesday, 31st of May, and I arrived to Madrid the day before on Tuesday. We took a train, it's just 2 hours 45 direct train from Barcelona to Madrid for very economic prices. So it's super smooth, super nice experience. And we arrived to Madrid and we arrived a little bit too late, which basically meant that I wasn't able to go to the venue to meet all the other speakers and to practice my talk at the venue, at the stage itself. And this was the original plan, right? The TEDx committee, the TEDx organizers, they had a slot available for us to actually come to the venue, to the stage, to be able to practice the day before and to meet everyone and to get basically familiar and comfortable with everything. And as we arrived too late and they were wrapping up, I didn't have the chance to go. And it is so interesting because what happened in the moment is like a completely freaky, that's a new word I'm going to use though. I freaky panicked in this moment because my mind, it's whenever this panic moment happens, just the mind going wild, right? You're too stuck in the mind. And so I was like, fuck, I was supposed to go to practice at the venue. Like all the other speakers were six speakers in total. All the other speakers, they are there. They were able to practice. They get to know each other. And I'm not going to have that. So shit, that sucks. Like I'm going to fail. What if I fuck up, etc. And so I was in a spiral. And then I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to practice now in the hotel room and I'm going to rehearse in the hotel room. And so that's what I did, just that it was horrible. Like I started a couple of times, I forgot the words, I forgot the text. A couple of times I went completely blank. I had no clue like what's next, what the next point is. I was stuck so many times and I panicked even more. So it's very interesting that I've actually, in this moment, the decision that I made was led by fear and by panic. Can you see that? So the moment I got to know that I can't go to the venue to practice, I was panicking. And so out of panic, I decided I have to practice now in the room. And Of course, when you then decide out of panic to practice now, like for example in the room, then my mind was just not in the right space. My mind was driven by fear and by panic. And when your mind is and your brain is driven and your body essentially is driven by fear and panic, then you don't think clearly, right? It's proven. It's actually something called heart coherence that when you do something out of fear of panic, obviously your heart is beating very differently. And what happens is that there's a lot of constriction happening in the body, which blocks blood flow to the brain because the body prepares to fight, flight, or freeze, right? And so the more relaxed you are, the more in alignment the more in alignment you are with yourself and with your heart and like centered and calm, the more blood flow is actually coming to the brain. And then the more you actually can remember, the better you perform all of these things. And so I actually, in the moment, I thought I'd do something well to myself by practicing in the room, and I haven't realized that this was actually driven by panic rather than driven by desire to practice right now, because of the fact that I couldn't go to the venue. And I practice every time, like it's five, six rounds. I froze after a couple of sentences. I got stuck at the same time. Like it was bad, right? And so to that point, when you try, and I was continuing to be driven by panic and fear, I then started to cry. I was like, fuck, it's tomorrow at the talk. I don't remember but my talk. I can't. Like, oh my God, these words, I can't remember shit. Like, what the fuck? It's like I'm not at the stage. I just spiraled. And so I cried it out, like usually, like I cried it out. It had to come out again, this roller coaster of emotion, what I've been talking about in part two. And then we went for dinner, walked around outside, just got my mind off and came back, read the talk a couple of times before going bed, and did some body work, somatic work, nervous system modifiers to calm my heart rate down, to get out of the fear and to come into a more neutral emotion and actually an emotion of excitement. And had a pretty good sleep and then woke up the next morning around 7, and I woke up and I was like, okay, today's the day. Today's the day. And I woke up actually excited, not scared, not fearful, but excited. It's like, today's the day. Like, this is what I've been envisioning. This is what I've been dreaming of. Like, it's happening. Like, fuck, it's happening. And so I've rehearsed the talk in the morning in the bathroom a couple of times. It went well. And it was in that moment I was in the bathroom. I took a cold shower, which I do every morning. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I was still processing the day before, like the evening when I froze and I didn't remember. And I asked myself in the mirror, what is your intention with this talk? What is it? What is your freaking intention with this talk, Claudia? And I closed my eyes and I took a breath. And my intention is to be me and to inspire people to take action. And I anchored myself in this over and over and over again, because if I would stay in my mind, the intention of my mind is to be the best and to blah, 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 whatever, like things that don't really matter. But the moment you just like, after a cold shower, you take a breath, you center to yourself, you listen to your heartbeat, the intention is really to be me and with that to inspire others to take aligned action. And so that's the energy that I cultivated in the morning, that I really desired to create that experience and the talk. And so I got ready, put in favorite music, was dancing around. It was such an amazing vibe, actually. And took a cab to the venue, which was around 20 minutes, and arrived to the venue. We're supposed to be there at 10:30. The event itself started at 4 p.m. And the speakers were supposed to be there earlier to do another round of practice with the microphone, get used to the stage, all of this. And so I arrived there, met all the other speakers, five of them, my coach, finally in person as well, the TEDx organizers, and fucking incredible people. Like, for real, the vibe, the professionalism, the support, and also honestly to exchange with the other speakers. I came to realize that everyone was experiencing the same. Like, everyone was excited but nervous, scared to make mistakes. Leading up to the event, people freaking out. Like, it's completely normal. And I have to say that this just shows as well the power of exchanging and sharing your experience, because chances are that you're not the only one experiencing what you're experiencing, no matter what you go through in life. You know, whether it's something like, you know, the TEDx experience, whether it's something within your job, maybe in a relationship, maybe with your kids, with your partner, whatever it is, with your mom, with your dad. Chances, the way that you're feeling right now, chances are that there are other people that can fully relate to it because we all go through the same human experiences. And so the more we isolate ourselves from others, the more we think, or the more our brain essentially makes us believe that something is wrong with us and that we're weird, right? But then the more you connect with others and share your experience, you realize that everyone else is experiencing the same. Like, for example, the whole experience of me freezing the day before, and being super nervous and going blank, you know, I shared that. And it was so interesting because there were two other TEDx speakers that were actually on the venue the day before, and they went on the stage and they completely froze and went blank on the stage, you know, while practicing. And so it made me realize, oh, fuck, like we're all going through the same thing. So we might as well just have fun and we might as well support each other. Plus, of course, as a TEDx organizer and the coaches, they all were like also stressed, and everyone was just really desiring to make an impact and to create a great experience. And that was just so fucking beautiful. And that motivated me to come and to come into this energy of creating a great experience for myself, but also for the organizers and also for the audience. And that change in energy is really what helped me. And so I arrived to this auditorium, to this big auditorium, has space for around 400 people. For the TEDx event, it's only allowed maximum 100 people, as per the TED guidelines in general. And I arrived to this auditorium, and I enter, and you arrive from the top, which basically means that you see below you, like all the like the rows of seats, and then the stage with the red dot and TEDx, i.e. Madrid, behind. And that's where I'm like, oh, you know, I had this tingling in my body, in my fingers, in my chest, in my stomach. I'm like, oh, holy shit. And I was smiling, I was excited. I exchanged with the other speakers. We had a laugh, we had a blast, and it was this effortless, smooth energy somehow. And went to mic up, which is also a very interesting experience in itself to have this mic in the back of you, and you know, like yeah, interesting experience. Anyways, and then had a practice round. So we went, everyone practiced again as per the order that we had. I got to hear the other speeches from the other speakers, and we got to support each other, we got to listen to each other, we got to give each other feedback. And you know, during the rehearsal, I was equally nervous. It was crazy. It's like, okay, let's rehearse, go on the stage, you stand in it, you stand this in the circle, you have all these lights in your face. And you play with the clicker for the notes. I didn't have any presentation, but I had notes that I needed to look into. And so I did a dry run and or the practice run essentially, and it went super well. I have to say, like, I was in my element, I was like in my flow, I was practicing without any fear. I was calm, I was centered, and it just was a real flow. It was incredible. It was actually really good, to the point that when I left, I was like, you know, the feedback was really, really good from everyone that was listening. And I felt good with it as well. I was like, okay, cool. This is amazing. And so we spent just the whole morning doing that. Then we went all together with the TEDx organizers and the speakers for lunch, which was just so cool because we got to connect with each other, and everyone has such an incredible story and idea worth sharing, an idea worth sharing. And it was just so cool to connect with people on a different level. And even though you don't know these people really, you have a connection because you have this experience together. And so for me, for example, whenever I'm gonna think back of that experience, I'm gonna think of all the other speakers and the two, three people that really supported me during this time, the coach and the TEDx organizer that I became really close with. And that's one piece as well that I would love for you to take away, is this connection with others. And funnily enough, this is also part of what I dive deeper into in my TED talk, actually, which I can't wait for you to see, to really connect with others. Because the moment you connect with others, you realize nothing's wrong with you. You realize people go through the same experiences, and you connect on a human level. And as a human, we need that connection with others. We need to be part of other people's experiences or of a group, essentially, in order to not feel lonely, or in order to feel like we're part of something, and in order to feel that we're human, because you fucking are human, right? Despite whatever your brain tells you, you are human. And so you get to be human as well. And then after lunch, we went back to the event. And so 4 p.m., people started to come in. It's the time I had friends coming, like two friends that came, and Jeremy was there, my partner as well. And so saw them before. I spent some time a little bit outside for fresh air, to center, to ground myself. And, you know, more and more people started to come, and the event itself started at 4:45 with the introduction. And there were around 100 people in the audience. So kind of small and intimate, which was really nice, honestly. And I was sitting in the second row, like we, the speakers and the organizers, were sitting in the first and second row. And they open up the event at 4:45. And they did that by playing the TED trailer, right? So like a short video, it's like a 4 or 5 minutes video of that was created by TED as a brand, that all the TEDx events and everywhere, you know, you can share that as a trailer. And the trailer started to play, and I was sitting in an audience, and I started to cry. I started to cry, but not crying, like not like the, not something like limiting or bad is was happening. It was like tears of like, like amazement, excitement, and gratitude. You know, we have these moments when something happens and you're just like realizing, holy shit, I'm here and it's happening, and I fucking deserve it because I worked for it. And that's what overcame me in that moment. And so I was sitting in that audience next to another speaker, next to my coach, and the trailer's playing, like showing all the speakers, the impact that TED has in general. And it hit me, I was crying, and it hit me because I was like, fuck, I'm here as a speaker, not as an attendee. I'm here as a contributor, not as a listener. Holy shit. And, you know, like tears were streaming down my face because of this, it was this, yeah, excitement and gratitude that I was experiencing in the moment. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's a great start. We're like 5 minutes into the event, and here I am crying. But this moment, I can tell you, like, this is one of these moments that I'm anchoring in for as long as possible, meaning that whenever there is a time where I have difficulties or anxiety or self-doubt or imposter, whatever it is coming over, that I close my eyes, I slow down my breath, I listen to my heartbeat, and I remember that exact moment. I remember what I wear, I remember how I sit, I remember where I sit, I remember the surroundings around me, the light, I remember the video that started to play, and then this emotional, like, light, or like this emotional waterfall coming over me, that brings me down and centers me back to me. And I encourage you, I really encourage you to create these anchor states, what we call them professionally speaking, as much as you can. So when you have a moment, for example, when you go for a walk and you look at the tree, or you look at the sea, or you have a moment with your kids, and all you can feel is just like, wow, you know, like love or appreciation or gratitude, really anchor in this moment, feel it, look around you, sense it. And then after that, create or tell yourself that I'm anchoring in this moment in my emotional bank. An emotional bank, what I mean by that is, as I said, that you can then access to it whenever you have a moment where things just become too much, okay? And trailer was over, they started introduction, I was still weirdly calm, you know, like weirdly calm. I had this sensation in my stomach, Yeah, there was still, I was very calm, maybe because I knew that it's not my turn yet for a while. And so the speakers started to go out one after the other. And by the way, what I'm gonna do, which is super exciting, is I'm gonna do an interview podcast with each of these speakers for you to get to know them in depth, linking to their TEDx talk because their TEDx talks were fucking incredible and they need to be shared and seen. So stay tuned to that series that I'm really, really excited about. And I was in the audience listening to their stories, tuning into their energy, and just having a blast. I was actually an audience and listener for the first half. Then there was the break. And in the break, I had to go to mic up for my part, because there was another one before me, then it was me, and then one more person. And so I went to mic up, and then there was the break. And what I did before, I went to the bathroom. And you know, when you go through something like that and there's a lot of emotions coming up, there it's completely normal to anxiety pee and to anxiety shit. Okay. So what I mean by that, and maybe you can relate, maybe not. I just want you to know if you experience this, then that's completely normal that I peed more than 10 times that day and I shed like 6 times or more, you know. Okay, that might go a bit too into details, but just to express that, you know, there's a lot of emotions going on and your body is with like totally in it. And so when there's like excitement like that or a lot of nerves involved in this, or also some senses of anxiety, it's completely normal to run to the toilet all the time. The funny part was, you know, I was mic'd up and I had to go to anxiety pee and anxiety shit, but you go with the microphone to the toilet. And it's one of these funny things that you realize, you know, when you are a speaker, when you do these things, you go to the toilet and you have the microphone, you're all mic'd up, and all you can just hope that the microphone is not on. Of course, normally, well, normally it's not on. So normally that shouldn't be an issue. It's just a funny moment that I was reflecting for myself while I was on the toilet, looking at the microphone of like, well, one thing that I didn't think you have to kind of think about as a speaker is that when you're mic'd up, you go to the toilet, then what happens? Well, nothing happens. I can guarantee you this. Just make sure that also when you speak with the audio team that, you know, in case you're in this situation, that you just make sure that it's turned off until it's your turn, right? And so after that was done, I just prepared myself. And when I said prepared myself, I really did a lot of somatic work, meaning I did some exercises. I did like a 4 minute breath work exercise, breathing in for four, holding for four, breathing out for four, holding for four, which is one of the most powerful tools and ways to regulate your nervous system, to center back, to find your calmness and stillness, and to find your energy essentially. And did some other somatic movements and works. And then got ready and went back to the stage, to the auditorium, and suddenly it was my turn. One tip that I have for everyone that is kind of in the speaking world or wants to get in the speaking world, before you go on stage, make sure you stand before next to the stage rather than sitting. Because sometimes when you sit, there's just so much emotions going on at the moment. And when you get up, it can, you know, create a little bit of dizziness or nausea, right? But when you stand, and ideally you stand in a Superman position, meaning both hands on your hips, and you just stand tall, that creates this confidence and this grounding energy for yourself as well. And so here it was. The speaker before me, she finished. The MCs, basically the hosts of the master of ceremonies of the event, they were sharing my bio and they're saying, and so give it up for Claudia Vares, self-love the mindset coach, to talk to us about why being stuck is a sign of your next breakthrough. Oof, people clap. I go up the stairs, 5 stairs, and then go towards this red circle in the middle of the stage. And I stand there, and all of the motions happening at once, literally. Like, you have, like, I mean, you have the light in your face. You know that there are people there. Some of them you know, most of them you don't. And suddenly you're there. You have the screens on the side with your notes, and it's just like, okay, holy shit, I'm here. And I was overwhelmed at the moment, I have to tell you. Like, so many emotions are happening at the same time that it's just like, whew, you know, it's like it hits you in the face that it is finally happening. And so I took a breath, and then, shall I say this? Yeah. Okay. So the way I open the TEDx talk was with, do something with me. That's the only thing I said. And then I explained what they were doing with me, which you will see in the TEDx talk when it's ready in the video. And I started to talk, I started to deliver my speech, I was moving around the stage, I was moving within the circle. And then it's so interesting because the practice rehearsal before, I told you, went so fucking smoothless. But then in the talk itself, I was 3, 4 minutes in, and the same, you know, paragraph where I would get stuck so often the day before is exactly again the time I got stuck. And so it's so interesting. Subconsciously, I knew that I was stuck in there. And so there were so many emotions going on that in that moment, I basically didn't know what to say next, even though I had my nose. And I felt all these feelings. So for one moment, it was so intense. I was like, okay, I'm gonna throw up. I literally felt it in my throat. And then in the same moment, this voice came up, you know, like the self-doubting voice, the sabotaging voice came up and was like, run away, run away. What the fuck are you doing? This is crazy. Get out of here. You can't do this. In that moment, while I'm on the stage, a couple of minutes into the talk. And I took a breath and I started to talk and I stumbled, I mispronounced stuff. I had to say sorry because I was kind of lost in the moment because all of these emotions, they just overcame me in that moment. And I got the curve, I got out of my head because that is what happens, is that these voices, they become so loud and then you get stuck with them, right? But I took a breath, got out of it, recentered, and then it continued very, very smoothly. And then what's so interesting is that, you know, I've made a couple of mistakes, one major one, and I actually then took it back and made fun of it in the flow of the talk. I said things in the talk itself that I actually wasn't planned, but because I've made this mistake, you know, I mispronounced and I said sorry, and I was like kind of a bit lost. It's so interesting because the method that I'm sharing, one part of that is connecting to your younger you and accepting to make mistakes. And so I integrated that mistake that I've done before a couple of minutes in the talk in itself. And at the end, it made me more human. And I was actually extremely vulnerable on that stage within the talk. And, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, you are there, you're super excited. Then you get stuck, you wanna throw up, you wanna run away. Then you catch a curve, you take a breath, then you're so in the flow, you're so in the element. And then the closer you come towards the end, the more I was like, I don't want it to be over. I don't want it to be over. Why is it already over? It's crazy. And so just like that, 12 minutes, 13 minutes, and it was over. And it was over. And I actually want to share some details of the talk and also how the audience reacted. However, I want you to see the TEDx video first, the talk itself first, and then we'll talk about it once this is out, because I feel like you need to see what I've done and what I've been talking about and how I've been showing it in order for you to understand and being able to relate. And just like that, I said thank you, got off the stage, sat down, and so fucking interesting. The moment I sat down, the first thing that came up for me was like, fuck, I screwed up. I screwed up. I made mistakes, I mispronounced, I got stuck, and I was mad at myself. I was so mad at myself that I let this voice come up, that I let these emotions come up, you know, in this moment. It's like essentially what happens here, or what happened here, is I beat myself up for not having done it perfectly. And this is the mistake in itself. Perfectionism. There is no fucking way to deliver any talk like that perfectly. Like the most known speakers out there, they talk actually about this, that they constantly make mistakes or they forget stuff or they change stuff. It is not possible to make a talk like that 100% perfect. And so it's again the expectation on myself. Like the moment I sat down back on my seat, I was like, fuck, I made a mistake. It was not perfect. I screwed up. It was shit. And so I went into the spiral, right? Even though the immediate feedback from the people around me, the other speakers, and my coach was like, this was fucking incredible. It was amazing. Na 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 na. But all I could stay with or stick with in my head was like, fuck, you fucked up. You screwed up. You made a mistake. You made a mistake. You made a mistake. And so the last speaker came. I'm still kind of, I'm like breathing. I'm like, it's over. It happened. Shit, oh my God, how was it? It was very different than all the other presentations. I don't know how it, you know, was it really good? Was it not good? And the last speaker finished and the event was over. And I went to the bathroom and I just centered myself for a moment. And it's again this conversation you have to have with yourself and with your mind of like, okay, oh, sure, you've done a mistake. Which, by the way, is fucking okay and is to be expected. So it's not that this is the problem, Claudia. The problem here is the expectation that you had on yourself of making it perfect. And very honestly, as well, this is very vulnerable to share. There was a part of me, or there was a part of me that came up, you know, when you're then in the spiral and in this perfectionism and self-doubt, there was this part of me that then was like, fuck, because of this mistake, you were not the best today. And this came up and I let it come up and it created this anger and resentment towards myself. And I faced it. And then I asked myself, how does this serve me now? And when I asked myself this, how does this serve me now? It actually doesn't serve me at all. What is happening here is this pattern of the ego trying to find things to make this whole incredible experience bad instead of letting myself enjoy it. And then I centered myself and I realized, but Claudia, like, shut the fuck up. Like, this is not about being the best. Like, everyone is so unique. Everyone is so different. Everyone has it done in their different ways. It's about people sharing the ideas worth sharing and their stories. And who the fuck are you to judge? I speak to my brain like that. Okay. I'm like to my brain, hey, brain, who the fuck are you to judge which story is the best one or which speaker is the best one? And who even decides that? There is no such thing. It's about everyone doing it in their own way and being unique and sharing their stories in their own way. And that in itself is the beauty of all. And so I'm sharing this as well. And I didn't want to go into that depth of vulnerability initially, but it just came out now. And I want you to reflect for yourself that every time that whatever it is on a project, as a parent, as a friend, as a partner, as a speaker, as a business owner, whatever, and you catch yourself thinking of like, yeah, but this was not perfect and I made a mistake, or like, oh, I wasn't the best today in the room. Catch yourself, because this is not you coming speak. This is not you speaking coming from compassion for yourself and others. This is your brain speaking coming from ego, and the ego primarily feeds itself on suffering and pain. So catch yourself and redirect this. Literally have this conversation with yourself, like I had in that bathroom. And I was like, and I asked myself this, and then I realized, fuck, this is not about being the best. This is not about being perfect. This is about being, and I said to myself, this is about being human. And actually, one of the points of my talk was saying that making mistakes is okay and is part of the process for moving from stuckness to breakthrough. How funny, right? And so I reminded myself of my own talk and my own method that I shared, and I did it. And I've realized, okay, center yourself back, Claudia. What was your intention this morning? My intention this morning was to be my authentic self and to inspire people to take action. And that's at the end what I've done on this stage, even with making mistakes, even with mispronouncing all over, whatever, staying stuck for a moment. That's my authentic self. And after all, I remember as well, this feeling is okay, you did it differently. It was in a very different way, and you stood to yourself, and that's what you wanted. And then I asked myself, how can you enjoy this right now? And I started to laugh and I started to smile. And I was like, this experience is just so incredible. And so then put some cold water on my face, on my neck, went outside, met with the rest of the speakers, like Jeremy came over. People came to me saying, like, this was incredible. You inspired me so much. What happened in that story? What happened? Like, I met so many incredible people that came to me afterwards expressing how much they enjoyed it. And there was actually one girl, she came to me and she said that the way you opened the talk, I immediately put my phone aside and closed my laptop and I did what you wanted us to do. And it really made me feel different. It really made a difference. And I was like, oh, incredible. And so I fucking did it. I fucking did it. I could have run away. I could have let fear overcome me. I could have self-doubt overcome me. I could have at the end puked on the stage, all of this kind of stuff that the mind is continuing to try to convince you of, which by the way, at the end never really happens. The most important is like to understand why you're doing what you're doing. What's the intention? And as long as you follow that through, you already win. And you have to continuously remind yourself that because your brain is fucking smart, your ego is fucking smart, and it will always try to find a way to create suffering for yourself, to create this pain for yourself, and to create ways on how to critique yourself. That's just what the brain does. And so, again, it is not about avoiding it entirely, it is about knowing for yourself how long you want to stay into that. And so I didn't stay for too long into that. I asked myself these questions. I had this conversation with my brain. I created this amazing feeling and remember myself of my intention. And I was able to enjoy the rest of the evening, meeting, speaking with people, taking actually in that feedback, receiving that feedback, receiving that love, receiving that inspiration that they got from what I was sharing. And that's at the end all it freaking matters. It matters more on how I was able to show up for myself. It mattered more how I was able to show up for the other speakers and support them. And it mattered more to really share a tool that I know can help people. And you constantly got to remind yourself in everything that you do, whether it's this experience, anything else that you do in your life, sports, exercise, food, parenting, friend, relationship, job, business, remind yourself on the intention that is coming from your heart and why you do what you do. And so, just like that, the event was over. And around 8:30 p.m., we went for dinner with friends for fettuccine pizza and some tiramisu. And Jeremy and I were strolling around Madrid in the evening. And I've realized for myself that because of all the work that I've been doing, I was actually able to enjoy most of the day, the good, let's say, or the empowering sides, rather than just constantly being in panic mode and fear mode, you know? I allowed myself, even during that day, to experience the full roller coaster of emotions. Like in the morning, rehearsing, feeling great, remembering myself, the intention centering, then feeling very confident, then doubting myself, then crying out of gratitude and joy with the TED trailer, then feeling nervous, but then doing the work that I'm doing to regulate my nervous system. Then going on stage, making mistakes, acknowledging those mistakes, then feeling really good about it, then, happy that it's over, but sad that it's over, right? Then beating myself up for making mistakes, then recentering, and then just receiving and enjoying the full experience. And one of the key takeaways from that whole thing that I'm just sharing here is that allow yourself to experience it all and trust yourself that you have the capabilities and tools to center yourself back. Instead, because the thing is, I'm sharing this because I know that the older version of me wouldn't have enjoyed this day as much. I would have constantly be like on the phone or like in my own bubble, trying to make it perfect, trying to make it like best. But instead, I told myself I do the best I can today with what I have. and with what I got. And at the same time, I'm going to enjoy connecting with others. I'm going to enjoy being here as well and enjoying the experience rather than, isolating myself completely and hustling and being in fear and trying to make something perfect that just cannot be perfect. So yeah, my dear listener, that was the whole experience from the day itself, and few key takeaways for you in summary through that episode today is number one, allow yourself to experience the full fucking roller coaster of emotions. It will mean that there will be moments you think that you can't do this, and it will mean that these moments will create the path for you to actually know and believe that you can do it. Number two, it's never as bad as you imagine. The thoughts and the worries and anxieties and the fears that are coming up, they are just not true. Like in preparation for this event, it's like all these scenarios in the head coming up. What if I shit myself on the stage? What if I puke on the stage? What if I pass out? What if I did it? What if I this? Like we create all these stories, or our brain essentially creates all these stories that are just not true. And so catch yourself, observe yourself, get yourself out of the mind into the body. And there's this saying actually that says, I've experienced terrible, terrible things in my life. 95% of them never, ever happened. It's such a cool saying. And I continue to remember myself on that because it essentially says that all the misery or anxieties or worries that you experience in your brain and the stories that it creates mostly never happen. Like here, I didn't shit myself on stage. I didn't pass out. I almost vomited, but I didn't at the end. I could have run away, but I didn't. Like, it's okay. Like, get away of your head. Don't believe what your mind is trying to tell you. Number three, expect to make mistakes. With every project, with any engagement like this, with pursuing your goals, pursuing what you want to do, expect to make fucking mistakes. And that is okay. Catch yourself wanting to be perfect, catch yourself wanting to be the best, and remind yourself in this moment that this is not you speaking. This is the brain and the ego. Take five breaths, connect to your heart, center, and then move on. And create that compassionate muscle for yourself that mistakes are okay because mistakes are part of it. I literally made a mistake on the stage, on a TEDx stage, and it's okay. I can truly say now that I've processed this, that it's okay. And I'm actually glad that it happened because I was able to link it even more to my talk and be very human on that stage. And let other people know that it's fucking okay to make mistakes. Doesn't matter where you are. And number three, number four, I think that was number four. Key takeaway number four is, whatever you do, whatever you work towards to, whatever you're aiming for, it's faster over than you think. In anticipation, we oftentimes want things to be over as fast as possible. But then when you're in them and they're actually over, you're like, oh shit, it's already over. So regardless of what you're gonna do, it's gonna pass anyways. And so it's up to you and how you want to make it count, how you want to experience this. So create for yourself this system or this environment where you ask yourself towards your goals, towards what you want to achieve while doing it. Ask yourself, how can this be easy? How can I enjoy this? Constantly remind yourself. And even through this simple question, you are already putting yourself out of the stress mode and you're regulating your nervous system because you realize that it's not about achieving and hitting that and being the best and being perfect, you realize that it's actually about being in the moment and enjoying the fucking moment while it happens before it's over. Okay. My dear listener, thank you so much for listening. I truly believe that without your support, I wouldn't have been able to manage all of this the way it came along. The support I've received from this community, from you listeners, from the community on social media was just overwhelming. I'm so fucking proud of you, but also appreciative of you on how much love, support, and cheering on you've given me during this time. And I really, really hope my intention was just to provide you some insights, knowledge, tips, tools, tricks, key takeaways through my own real life experience through this whole TEDx journey. And I hope that you take away at least one thing from today, from the three-part series. Let me know, send me a message, let me know what it is, let me know how you liked this three-part series, and let's stay connected. You can fucking achieve anything that you want. And closing this episode or the series with the same saying that I started with in part one, which is thinking will not overcome fear, but action will. So think less and act fucking more. Put your right hand on your heart. Take a breath. And know that everything you need, want, and desire is exactly here where your hand is. You got this.